details.
Does your tire dealer know your name? Head to your local independent tire dealer shop where you'll receive personalized service and great deals on tires. Your local independent tire dealer is a place where you'll receive dependable service performed by dependable people. All of their shops are committed to helping guide you through the tire buying maze. Right now, get up to a $70 Visa prepaid card with the purchase of 4 qualifying general tires now until April 30th. Go to itdroll.com for details.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
So weird, the same song plays like every Monday and Friday.
A pit of
Friday? This time. Not this time, and yeah, except for Friday. Same song.
Oh.
The same song. It's unbelievable.
Life can be so sweet on sunny side street. I used to walk in the shade.
Somebody has a sinus infection. We'll tell you who. Stay tuned.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
Are you a transsexual and have a story to tell?
No.
No, I'm not.
If I ever have,
you don't have a story to tell?
I don't.
I'll be the child's rock.
I should have said no and no. You know, no to both parts.
At my feet.
That was very quick. For this early in the show, that was very quick. Wow. You know what? You'd make a good guest fill-in host. Let's try that Thursday. What do you say?
Sir, what?
Yeah, I'm out Thursday. And No. Now, see, stop the music. You stop. Let me tell you what you just did. You just hurt Tim's feelings because I said, you know, Tim's going to guest host on Thursday, and then you played dun-dun-dun.
I waited until you said you were going to be out on Thursday.
Yeah, when you said you're out on Thursday.
Because it's shocking that you're not going to be here.
And Frank, I've only got, you said he hurt Tim's feelings. I've only got one feeling, and he didn't hurt it.
Yeah, see? Tim's fine.
Okay, sorry, my mistake. I said he hurt that one feeling he had. Apparently not. So, okay, yeah, we can let it run out. And you hear that harmonica? Dan Strauss taught that guy to play the harmonica. He didn't talk about it a lot because he's modest.
Well, yeah.
He taught it. So, Tim, I called him a few days ago and I said, hey, I got to be out Thursday. You want to just, like, host?
And
without
he said,
hesitation.
Who is this?
Well, he could have said that because he probably gets offers all the time, but he knew it was me. And he said, sure, not even hesitating. Sure, I'll go. So we'll see how that goes. I think it'll go
show we've ever done.
Well, thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
That's nice. And I wasn't prepared to say anything bad about you today, but that could change now.
It's a sinus. It's my sinus infection.
Well, I was going to reveal who that was.
Oh.
I already have. Yeah, let me welcome people. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the March 25th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Big news, Dan Strauss has a sinus infection. Now you can hit. There you go. Now, here's my question. I talked to Dan like, I don't know, an hour ago, 2 hours ago. And he didn't sound like he sounds now. He actually sounded a little bit worse. And I've got a sinus infection. Now, how do you know? Did the doctor say you had a sinus infection, or are you just guessing you have a sinus infection?
I've had these before, and I called the doctor, and I gave him all my symptoms and everything.
And he said, who is this?
Yeah. Who is this? And he sent in a prescription for antibiotics. So I'm on antibiotics, but I've gotten these before because the older I've gotten, the worse my allergies. I never had allergies when I was younger, and I have allergies now. I went to the doctor. I said, I have the longest cold. This was a couple of years ago. The longest cold. He goes, and he checks me out, and he goes, you have allergies. And then he said, you also have a sinus infection, but the allergies will get so bad at times that they can cause a sinus infection. So this is what happened the other night. We were at home sitting there, and I blew my nose, and then I turned to Sandy and I said,
"Who's Sandy?"
Sandy's my girlfriend that I live with. So I turned to her and I said, "Do you smell that?" I was smelling.
Did you cut one? Had you just cut one?
No, I didn't. I didn't, and it didn't, and it didn't smell like that. But, and I, and she goes, no, I don't smell anything. So I'm walking around trying to find the source of the odor, and
it was her, wasn't it? She cut one.
No, no, she didn't cut one either, and it wasn't the dog, because usually we'll blame the dog. Yeah. But, so it kind of subsided a little bit, and then I blew my nose again, and I'm like, man, there's that smell again. And so, after
can you
a while,
describe the smell for
no,
me?
No, I can't
okay?
describe it. Yeah, oh. I can't describe the smell. I
was
don't,
it a good smell? A
no,
bad
no,
smell?
No. It's not a good smell, and it's okay. not like a bad smell where you're like, oh God, that's just awful. But it's just like a pungent odor that,
and it's coming from inside your own head.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I Googled it because I thought, man, I'm having a stroke or I'm having something going on here.
You know what it could be? It could be one of a couple of things. It could be a brain tumor, or it could be, you know how they say when you sleep that, like, things crawl in your ear? Like, maybe
oh,
there's
yeah.
some dead the stuff in your head. Oh, the, inside your head is some dead spiders or something.
Oh, it could. And
they're rotting,
decaying and everything?
They're rotting and decaying in your head and you smell them.
Oh. Well, that explains. Be. Yeah, it explains yeah. a couple of spider legs that came out.
Those are nose hairs.
Yeah. but so I Googled it, and it everything that I checked on, they said that there was a thing that said about polyps caused by a sinus infection and allergies, and then there was another one just saying sinus infection. So I called the doctor's office this morning and explained to them what was going on, and they said he
now, who's the movie
him.
Director who died from that? Sidney Pollops.
Boy.
Pollop K.
I'm going to start counting. That's a one.
Sidney thank, Pollops.
That's a one from the bad dad joke at the BDJ.
So yeah. It's really weird. So I had to go. I finally went to the store and bought some Kleenex with the lotion in it. Because, man, my nose and my upper lip and everything are just
oh,
raw.
That stuff's good. That's good. That puffs with the built-in cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh, it is so horrible. But I still have that smell, though. It's like anytime
well,
I blow my
nose. Well,
only
you can smell it, though. That's
yes.
the good news.
Yeah.
Nobody else can smell it.
Yeah. It's just very
well, I'm not
strange.
Kidding. They sometimes when I'm not making this up, when people have brain tumors, they think they smell like distinctive things. Here's why you might not have a brain tumor. Their smells they can identify. Like they go, oh man, I smell like burnt toast, or I smell the smell of
oh, yeah.
pineapple or something, and that can mean brain tumor. Since you can't identify it, you might not have a brain tumor.
Well, that's they did say at one point I have a small brain on my tumor.
How many times have you told that joke over the years?
Probably.
60?
That's, oh, 60 yeah, at least 70. 60,
one
yeah.
One for Dan and one for Frank.
Except mine was new. Mine was an original mm-hmm. creation. Dan has used that, I've got right. a brain on my yeah. tumor, like 100 times.
New or old, they both go in the BDJ column.
Well, here's one for you, Tim.
What the what column?
The BDJ.
What's that?
It's the bad dad joke.
Oh, bad dad joke.
Yeah.
Well, here's one for you.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
Dogs can't operate MRI machines. But cats can.
That's two for Dan and one for Frank.
Well, you do have a sinus infection.
I know. It's the sinuses. Here's another one. The reason Indians, you know the reason why Indians were here first? Now they're called Native Americans?
No.
Because they had reservations.
Three for Dan.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, you really you do have a sinus.
You should
infection.
Save
yeah,
you should I save
do.
Some of these because on Thursday,
yes.
when I host for Frank, in honor of Frank, we're going to have a joke off in the 5 o'clock
okay.
hour.
Okay,
hey, that's
and,
a great
and
idea.
Me and you
oh.
and Limey and Bill are all going to tell a joke, and we're going to invite the listeners to email Frank as to which one was the best. Yeah. So we're going to have a joke yeah. off on Friday. So
oh,
save,
nice.
So save your best
okay.
for Thursday.
See,
all
he's
right.
already planning the show. This is good. Mm-hmm. He's
wow.
already thinking about it. He's got a plan.
That's something.
A joke off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I'm sorry. I hope you know. What are you taking? Anything? The doctor tell you
Antibiotics I have. And then I've just been doing NyQuil at night.
You know, I almost think this antibiotic thing is like the catch-all for everything. I think it doesn't really do anything. They go, well, let me prescribe you some antibiotics. You get like 1,000 different things you have, and they go, let me prescribe antibiotics. And then guess what? It still hangs around until it just decides it's time to go away. But, like a cold or something. It never does anything.
But sometimes if you take too many, if the doctor keeps giving you antibiotics, you get a...
Immune
to them, and they won't work. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Thanks, Tim.
What are probiotics? There's antibiotic and pro. Like, I'm for biotics, I'm against biotics. What is the deal? What are probiotics? My wife takes all this crap and powdered stuff. It's got a lot of probiotics in it. Oh. Really? Well, if you take too much of that, then what, do you have to take antibiotics because you got too many biotics in you? What the heck is all that mean?
I'll tell you what it means if Limey promises to play, not to play.
No, I'm going
to
play it. All. I'm going to play it.
Don't play dun, dun, dun.
If I'm not going to play it.
If you play Thank You, Mr. Know-It-All, I'm not going
to
tell him.
I have to. It's my job.
Oh, no. Tim, please. We almost have to. It's your signature.
Probiotics are live microorganisms intended to provide health benefits when consumed, and they're generally safe to consume, but they may cause bacteria-host interactions.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Bacteria-host interactions. That sounds bad.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So what about then you get too much of that, then in come the antibiotics?
Antibiotic is an antimicrobial substance active against bacteria.
You know that after you said both of those things, I still have no idea.
Microbials.
I have no idea what they do. I don't have a clue.
We should wait for Dr. Doug on Thursday. He does a good job of...
Yeah, he would know microbials and everything.
I think maybe one day, hopefully before I die... There'll be a big news bulletin that, well, folks, guess what? There really is no such thing as gluten. We kind of made that up to market some stuff. And all this gluten and probiotics. Another one. Antioxidants. That's another one. My wife's
like blood thinners.
I have no idea what it is.
In layman's terms, antibiotics destroy life. They destroy bad things in you. Probiotics give life to things in you.
So biotic means life.
Life-giving. Antibiotic, destroy life. Probiotic, life-giving. That's the simple answer.
Okay. Oh. And then there's are there oxidants? Because they're antioxidants. Are there pro-oxidants? I mean, this stuff confuses me. And then here's the other thing she's big on. She'll tell me this all the time. You haven't had any protein today. Okay, really? Okay. And then she says, this has protein, that has... She's like a dietitian or something. She just consumes this stuff all the time. She reads it, you need protein. And then she's always telling me, I don't eat enough vegetables, and I'm not getting enough fiber. Because I'll go a whole day, lots of times. I'm not going to eat anything green, no Brussels sprouts or lettuce. I can go a whole day, easy. Some fried chicken. Meatloaf, maybe, and...
You poop all right, don't you?
Well, that's personal.
Well, that's... the fiber helps you poop, right?
Yeah, get some brand flakes.
It's funny you said that. You know where I was today? I was at the gastroenterologist today to schedule my next... Get ready with my next colonoscopy. Yeah. And you know why? Thank you, Terry Daly.
Yeah.
He's the reason. Yeah. Thanks, Terry.
I'm going to do one here pretty soon.
Because it's been 14 years since I had one, so I'm going to go have another one. And I know I'm the one that has said it many times. It's nothing. And I know it's nothing. And I still am dreading it, though I've done it. And I know it's no big deal.
But what are they looking for? That's what I don't
know. They're looking for polyps in your colon that indicate... pre-cancer, or if you've waited too long, they get in there and they go, whoops, not just polyps, but cancer. And if they're polyps, they just kill them while they're in there. They just, like, burn them up or whatever. Yeah. Oh, that's what they're looking for. I had one 14 years ago, not a polyp, nothing, clean. And they said, see you in 10 years. And I stretched it to 14. Can't be that big a deal. But Terry Daly's the reason, because he's, stage 4, so I thought, okay. Let's get this over with. Isn't it weird that there are things you've had done before and you know it's not a big deal, but you still are dreading it? I can't wait to get this over with because I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. they're looking up your, you know, butt.
And they're laughing when they flip over, when they flip you over.
No, they could be. They might be laughing. You don't know.
Come here, look at his butt.
And then it's a whole different deal once you face that doctor or that person after you know they've looked up your butt. It's like, I don't ever want to see him again after they do that.
You still make
do
eye
this,
contact
leave the room, and I don't ever want to see you again.
And then you're sitting
there. You'll make eye contact with them while they're doing it.
Well, obviously, afterwards.
You're either completely out or you're in what they call twilight, which pretty much is the same as being out. I mean, you don't know what's going on.
And on the other end of this conversation, 99% of the women I have asked this question to say emphatically the same sex when I ask them, is your gynecologist male or female? They are just hell-bent on it being male or hell-bent on it being female. And hardly ever have I met somebody that says, well, I used to have a female when I went to a start going to a guy one. It's almost across the board. Mm.
And see, I don't care. The one I had done.
Well, you don't have a vagina.
Like, true.
Well, maybe.
I don't.
He said he didn't have a story to tell. Oh,
man. Well, that'll be a story if I ever tell that story. No, I don't care. The one I had done last time was done by a really attractive woman. She's retired now, but boy, she was pretty. And I remember when I went in there before she came over to say hello. Okay, we'll get ready. We're going to put you out here. And I remember I said to her, I said, let me ask you a question. Why would a woman as beautiful as you want to do this for a living? Just look up people's butts. And her answer was good. She says, because I like to save people's lives. That was a good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, she didn't have both hands on your shoulders, did she?
No, that's the prostate.
That's a joke about it. That's a joke about the guy giving you a prostate exam. You got the wrong punchline with the wrong situation.
That's three for Dan, one for Frank, and one for Tim.
But it really is weird how it's weird. Like, you know, you meet and have the consultation and go, okay, well, we'll schedule you. And then as you're walking away, I'm thinking, I don't want to see you ever again after this is over. I don't mind meeting you now because you haven't looked at my butt. But once this is over, I just don't want to see you. I know that's weird.
And the worst is the preparation.
Of course it is. And I asked this guy today, I said, give me some good news. I said, tell me there's something other than drinking that stuff and running to the... He goes, nope, that's still the best way. That's the way we do it.
I know.
And I said, okay, what about this deal where you take a sample of your, poop, and they analyze it? He said that's 93% effective. He said there's still a 7% chance that method can miss cancer. 7%. He said, you want to take that chance? I said, nah, I can just get this over with.
That's the one where you box it up and put it on your porch. Good luck to the porch pirates if they grab that.
but here's the problem with that. I told my wife, I said, I think I'll just do that poop sample thing. She said, well, but if something comes back that looks suspicious, you just have to go get a colonoscopy anyway. Just get it over with.
Yeah.
So, and you have to do the poop sample once a year for 3 years in a row. So, okay, let's do this. Because I also don't like the idea of that. I had to do that
poop
years ago. No, you have to... Folks, I'm sorry. I apologize, but this is important. This is medical. They sent you a little box of like popsicle sticks, and you had to. Yeah.
Isn't it like a tray? Can you put this little tray
That's the colonoscopy thing. I'm talking about something else. Years ago, they had to analyze it, and so I had to put it on a little stick, and then put the stick in a container envelope. Yeah, it is gross. And mail it to them.
Yeah.
And
there's
then poop somewhere
poop in the
there's
mail?
That person whose job is it's sealed in a like a Ziploc thing. And it's just a sample on a popsicle stick.
Poop-sicle.
And then somewhere is the job of the person. Somewhere the person has a job where they have to open all those. Who has that job?
Man, really?
The poopologist?
All right, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, you're hired. You start tomorrow.
Or something.
Jim, we got a bunch of them came in today, buddy. We got a 65 poop samples.
Give me a fresh box of spoons, please, over here, Stad.
Yeah.
And a straw.
Now, there's some things that are just disgusting to talk about, but you know, there are people whose lives have been changed by doing this stuff that we're talking about. So sometimes you just have to talk about it, and that's the way it is. There's no way you can't talk about it without saying poop. You could. We could say like the SH word, and then we never work again. So we'll go with
this. All started with my sinus infection.
Yeah, it did.
And so
yeah.
We went from the head all the way
down.
How
do we do that? How do we do that? We don't even know what we just did.
No.
We go from a sinus infection to poop on a stick. How did we do that?
How do we do it?
You'll have to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Man, yeah, I might. I might go back just for that transition. Where did we turn that corner?
What a great way to tease the podcast. Hey, everybody, if you want to figure out how we got to what we're talking about, check out the podcast.
Yeah.
Because we have no idea.
Does anybody have anything to say? It's been a weekend, surely.
I pretty much did my thing.
So look here, soon to be daddy who can't go on the trip with us, but that's okay. He's committed and dedicated, and that's a good thing. Limey Phillips, it's all yours.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
So mine's got a bit of a moral dilemma. Yesterday I was at the grocery store, right? And as I'm walking around the aisles, I was kind of looking down at my phone, checking my grocery list. And I see this bit of toilet paper in my vision kind of scooting along the floor in front of me. And, you know, I kind of like looked up and I saw that this woman had about like, you know, about 3 feet of toilet paper, I'm guessing sticking out of her pants because it was sticking, like, you know, it was hanging down from her jacket.
Okay, can I stop you right there? Yeah. I've heard of this happening. How does that even happen?
Who goes
to the bathroom and gets toilet paper to trail out from their pants? How can that even happen?
I don't know, but I didn't have
Hold on. Before you go any further, let's think about this. You'd have to... I'm sorry again, everybody. I'm sorry. But you'd have to finish your business, take paper, and take it where it's streaming out long, reach back there, and then think that you're done, but it's still stuck there, like, and then pull your pants up, and it's still streaming out of your pants. That's impossible.
There's a scene in the movie Smokey and the Bandit, which plays Bill Cleveland's theme song, Eastbound and Down. There's a scene in the movie Smokey and the Bandit in which Sheriff Buford T. Justice, played by Jackie Gleason, exits a choke and puke, where he just wolfed down a Diablo sandwich with a Dr. Pepper, and he walks out to the cop car, and he's got a stream of toilet paper stuck in his pants all the way out halfway in the parking lot. And this woman comes flying out after him, and I'm pretty good at evaluating heights and weight. She's a sticky 5'6", 340, okay? And she's like, Sheriff, hold on just a second. You got some stuff. And she, like, takes this toilet paper and she like yanks it from the back of his pants and he stops and she like rips it off his pants and she turns around, she starts folding her hands over and over like they're gonna recycle it and, you know, put it back in the bathroom. And he turns around and looks at this massive woman and he only said two words. And does anybody know what those two words are?
I can't. Oh,
F you.
He said, nice ass. All right.
Okay, let's go back.
See,
how did that even happen that there's a stream? Look, when people use paper, they kind of fold it up a little bit, okay? How do you end up with a streamer of it coming out of your pants? I don't even see how that's possible.
The only way I can think of is that maybe she had some extra and kind of ripped it off and dropped it, but it got stuck in her pants. Or she had like a really bad accident and was trying to cover up her trousers or something.
I'll tell you how it happens. When you're sitting on the throne and your pants are around your ankles and the toilet paper is hanging off to the side, and if it's hanging all the way down to the floor, you're not paying attention, and you pull your pants up when you stand up and the toilet paper is stuck in the belt loop. It's stuck in the belt loop or it's stuck on the inside.
Right.
And you pull it up, you buckle your pants, you walk away, and you walk out, and it just keeps on following you.
And you've got a tail.
What would be funnier is as you're walking away, it just continues all of it to come off the roll. So it's like a 30-foot streamer.
That would be
you got something. That would be. So I'm sorry, Limey. Finish your story. You're in the store, and you look down, and you see this toilet paper coming out from this woman's pants.
Right. And I didn't have the heart to go up and say something because she was a middle-aged woman. And, you know, in this day and age...
What does that have to do with it?
Well, in this day and age, I didn't really... I don't know if it's appropriate to go up to a lady and just be like, hey, you got some toilet paper hanging out.
So it would be appropriate if she were young or really old, but middle-aged is not appropriate?
No, I was just, like, describing what she was. I don't think...
A younger, cute girl, he would have walked.
No,
said,
I don't think
hey,
I would.
Can I get the toilet paper out of your pants?
But that's my thing. Like, that's what I wanted to know.
I don't understand why you were reluctant, because what could her reaction possibly be see if you said, excuse me, but I think you'd just like to know you got toilet paper. What you going to do, call the police? I mean,
I
she'd just say,
I
oh, my goodness.
No
she'd be embarrassed, and she'd say, oh, thank you. I'm so embarrassed. Thank you. That's all she'd say.
You take a picture of it first, and then you go up to her and say, hey.
Here, this is you from behind.
This is you.
This is what's going on. But realistically, what would you have done? Because I just kind of turned the other corner and
I would have just
going.
Said, and I'd have pointed and said, you got some paper there. That's
got some paper.
So what did you do? What happened?
And nothing. I just walked away. I just was like, all right, well, she's going to have an interesting night, and carried on doing my grocery shopping.
Here's what you should have done. Yeah. What you should have done is what I did the day I was in the Schnooks Eureka, and I saw this 23-year-old girl wearing nothing but a blanket, walking around with her father, and she had tennis shoes on, socks, and she had, I have pictures on my phone to show you this day. I followed her around the store and took pictures of her. And I posted them on Facebook saying, anybody know where this girl is? Because she needs a pair of pants. And some, one of my Facebook friends knew who she was.
Oh,
she only had a blanket on, wrapped around her top and waist, and that's it.
She was with her dad?
She was with her dad.
Wow.
A blanket.
I kid you not.
How do you know she only had a blanket?
Because
did she open it up?
No, because like a perv, I walked right up next to her and I saw she had kind of a slit line going up the side of her thigh, and I could tell that she had nothing on.
Oh.
I had the pictures on my phone to this day to prove it.
How do you know she's 23? Huh. You said
because a friend of mine recognized, because I posted it on Facebook as a joke. Anybody know this girl? Will you tell her that she forgot her pants in the car? And one of my Facebook friends knew her and said, that's my friend so-and-so. She's 23, blah, 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 and that's her dad. That's a true story.
Can you do that? Can you take a picture of anybody and put it on Facebook? Can you do that?
Yeah, because as a private investigator, I was taught during licensure that you can shoot video or photographs of anything that can be seen from the public eye. Your right of privacy ends at your front door or at any window of your house. That's where your right of privacy ends.
When you walk out and you're in a public area, mm-hmm. you're in a like
Walmart you are or you are susceptible to being photographed by anybody for no reason under the law.
Now we know. I did end up last night for about 30 minutes watching video of people losing their minds at Walmart.
Oh, I love those.
Goodness.
They're the
it's
best.
Unbelievable.
At the return counter?
No, just right in the aisles, getting into it with another customer. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, people are crazy.
Have you ever heard of the website The People of Walmart? You need to check that
yes.
out. Yes. I love that. Yeah. Some of the people you see.
You know, I had a guy pull a switchblade on me in a line at Walmart once.
Yeah.
I told you guys that story.
Yeah.
Because he butted in front of me at line, and I yelled at him and his wife, and he pulled a switchblade on me.
Yeah.
That's why I yelled again, at people. This is why you can't yell at anybody. You can't do anything. You do, then they'll kill you.
So and I'll stab you. So, but no, what would you guys have like? Would you have actually said something, or would you just carried on?
I would have said something, yeah.
Because Limey, unlike you, we care about other people. And we don't want them to walk around being humiliated and laughed at. And if you think about it, what horrible thing could happen if you said, excuse me, ma'am, you got some paper. I just thought you'd like to know. What do you think would happen?
Maybe she gets angry and like, what are you doing, staring at my rear end or just screaming?
Well,
No, she would not.
Or
because
she would
embarrass. Odd that you don't normally see.
I think also didn't want to be the person to embarrass her because she'd obviously been grocery shopping for a while. So this toilet paper had been hanging for like however long she had been walking around the store. I don't want to be the guy to embarrass her. Just like,
excuse
me. Ignorance is bliss, right?
You've got a 3-foot, 2-ply tail hanging out of your pants.
Well, what about this? What if you had it? She said, you know, young man, you're the only person. I must have been walking around with this for the last 20 minutes. You're the only person who bothered to let me know and put an end to the embarrassment. I'd like to leave you in my will. Uh-huh. You never know.
Well, if I ever see it again, I will tell him.
Yeah, because nothing bad can happen if you tell somebody that. It just can't. She's not going to. You're not assaulting her. You're not. You're only staring because of something she wouldn't want people staring at. Does anybody else have anything for the Burke segment?
I have a quick one on Michael Avenatti.
Oh, yeah, this is a good story. He's that guy. You know, he's a graduate of, like, Parkway West
Central.
Or something.
Central?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that. He's from around here, or was. So, yeah, what do you got?
So, this comes to mind what I do for a living as a private investigator. I've caught so many people cheating on their spouses, and some of them have been rich people. And there's a real fine line between extortion and not being extortion. And I'll tell you what, I've been tempted on, so I've never done this. I've been tempted so many times to try, I've just contemplated, hey.
To just say, look, give me $100,000, this will all go away.
Pretty much. I've always, you know, I talked to my lawyer about it, and you know, this is when I first became a PI, I was younger, and he just said, you know, just don't do it, don't even think about it, blah, blah, blah. But every time I catch somebody rich, the thought crosses my mind for about 2 seconds. You know,
What about this? What if you got somebody rich, mm-hmm. and that person said to you, look, Mr. Woodburn, I know you got the goods. I know you got the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a couple $100,000. Just go away. Okay, just forget this. Go away. Now that's him offering you. Is that illegal? Is that not against the law?
No, it's not. I would certainly have to run. I'd have to get my attorney involved.
I would have to think about that.
I'd be shaking in my boots. I just, you know, one of the first things I ever did as a PI, I actually wrote this story in my Bad Mood, Good Mood book about the blondes that paid me money to go in their dad's house and search for the cash after he died and he hid it in his Playboy and Penthouse magazines. And they all stood out in front waiting for me to bring the wagon full of cash out. And even then, and that was like the third month I was ever a PI when that case happened, even then I thought, I took a peek in that bag. I'm like, how would they know if the guy had $30,000 or $26,000? Anyway, and I thought, you know what? I bet I'm being set up. And that thought always stayed in the back of my mind.
Could have been a camera in there. It's a good point.
Anything. You know, anybody that, you know, I've made a few enemies in my day, unfortunately. I am like, anybody could be setting me up at any time. And this guy, you know, Adidas just had this huge scandal where assistant college basketball coaches and executives at Adidas and other middlemen were bribing basketball players to go to schools that had Adidas contracts, like Louisville, like Kansas, you know, and other places. And I'm like, well, it's not just Adidas doing this. Everybody knows that everybody's in bed to get high-end athletes. I mean, I wonder when the Nike shoe is going to drop, no pun intended. And sure enough, Michael Avenatti, who represented Stormy Daniels, who's represented, you know, other high-profile people, he's trying to become like almost like the slumlord attorney of the stars, right. If you will. Right. And this guy from St. Louis, couple years younger than me, Parkway Central High School graduate, posts on his Twitter account that he is going to upend Nike. It's almost like he was daring the federal investigators to cuff him up. Because he posts on his Twitter account, I'm going to have a press conference on Tuesday that's going to blow Nike out of the water, is essentially what he says. Then all, you know, and then Nike's like, well, if he's going to blow us out of the water, we might as well try and get him on tape. And I bet they set him up to say something to get him charged with extortion. You know, because he flaunted it. How could he not have been recorded secretly after he flaunted something like that?
Yeah, he's not the brightest guy.
I don't think so. I don't know. No. Makes you wonder how a guy like that.
Maybe he knew he was going to get arrested, so to try and put like a different spin on it, he said, "Oh, hey, I'm going to release some big news and all that."
Well, that's the thing, and my whole reaction theories to this story is now that he's been arrested, well, he's not going to get any money. Probably, what's to prevent him from releasing the evidence that he has? True. You know, go ahead and do unto others as they've done to you.
Well, he doesn't have a lot of credibility, so the evidence better be pretty ironclad because nobody pays any attention to this clown anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Stormy Daniels even fired him. When you get fired by a porn star, you know you got problems.
Yeah, that's as low as it can go. Yeah, I wasn't good enough for my porn star client. Yeah, that's not a great thing to be able to say.
No.
Anything else?
No,
anything?
That's it.
No, nothing, nobody? Burke segment. Close it. All right, folks. I don't do a lot of begging here, but this trivia night thing is actually already going better. I'm still going to beg, but it's going better than I ever expected it to. You know, when we came over here, October 2nd, 2017, believe it or not, it's been a year and a half, there were some bumps in the road. Things look like, oh my goodness, are we ever going to fix this or get out of this or turn the corner? And the answer is, yeah, we did. And then things like this happen where we are farther along with raising money for St. Jude through Window World than we ever were at the other station. I'll tell you where we are here. Trivia night is May 18th. We have a table for 10. Six of us will be at that table. Let me go through it again. Me, my wife, Dan, his girlfriend Sandy, Tim Woodburn, and Limey will be at the table. That's six people. Leaves four, two couples. I have a bid, current standing bid, from one couple from for $2,000, another couple for $3,000. So $2,000 and $3,000 together. Hang on, let me add those up. See where we are. So we have $2,000 for one couple and $3,000 for another.
$3,000, $2,000 for the other. $14,000.
$14,000. Okay. Now we just did that because we always have to do that stupid bit. So there's $5,000. Now check this out. Over the last couple of days, and I'm sure he's listening, I get a couple of emails back and forth from a listener who's listened for quite a while, and I've gotten lots of emails from this guy. His name is Brian. Okay, Brian, by the way, Tim, this is the Brian who paid to have lunch with you, and I don't think you ever had the lunch, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Brian says, if I can come sit in on the show, I'll pay $4,000.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
So I wrote him back. At first he said, the first email was, what about this, Frank? What if I give money to sit in on the show? And I wrote him back and I said, well, Brian, that's great, but I'm just going to tell you, it's better be a substantial amount of money because we don't let people do that. But I'll make exceptions. I'll do things that even maybe make me uncomfortable if there's enough money going to the right place. In this case, it's St. Jude. So he writes me back and says, okay, how about $3,000? And I wrote him back and I said, oh my goodness. I said, yes, I accept your bid. And if somebody wants to bid more to sit in on the show, then, you know, you'll get bumped unless you want to up it again. So he calls and ups his own bid right away to $4,000.
Oh, wow.
So now we have $9,000. Yeah. This is fantastic. But I want more.
Does he just want to sit in on the show?
He just come in and sit in and visit.
And not do the trivia night?
No, he's not interested in that.
Is he going to talk on
separate.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
he can do anything he wants for $4,000. Of course he can. Cool. He can do the whole show. He can do the whole show. The Brian Show. Playhouse. Yeah, he can do anything he wants. He can tell a joke, whatever he wants for $4,000. And he writes me back then after that and says, I'll bet you get $10,000 from somebody to sit on the show. And then I wrote him back again. I said, I doubt it. That would be fantastic. But I doubt it. So he kind of doubts that he'll win it for $4,000. We'll see. But this is fantastic because we're, 7 weeks out or something for this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, March, April, May. Yeah, 7 or 8 weeks, 7 weeks. So that's where we are, folks. So here's what this made me think of. We haven't done that for a while. We've done it a couple of times. Take money for somebody to come sit in and all the money goes to charity. And yes, we'll certainly be willing to do it for that kind of money or more. But here's the one thing I didn't throw in that I normally do, and that's dinner with me and my wife at Annie Gunn's. So we have four opportunities here. Sit at our table as a couple or single if you want. There are two of those opportunities because there are four seats. Third, come sit in with us and hang out for a show. Fourth, dinner at Annie Gunn's with me and my wife. Now, we've done this at least, oh my goodness, over the years, 10 or 12 times, easily. And it has never not been a wonderful evening. We never got stuck with some where 10 minutes in, you're going, oh my goodness, this is going to be the longest night of my life. It's never happened. Never. The evening flew by. The winning bidder, listener, and spouse were great. And it was terrific, and I'm sure it will be again. But let me be clear, we're not going to dinner at Annie Gunn's, my wife and I, with you, unless you cough up some substantial money. We could start that at $2,000. So if anybody wants to have a fantastic meal, get a tax deduction, and hang out with me and my wife for the evening. Now, I will tell you, if you're wondering, well, we're not sure. We don't know Frank's wife. She will charm you. She has that's her outside personality she uses when we're with people. She'll
really
be
nice.
Well, yes, of course she is limey. You've seen her outside the house personality. That's the one that they'll meet. They'll meet that version of her, and they'll like her. They don't have to go back home with her when it's over. They'll like her. Okay. Once we get back home and walk in the house, the other person comes out. The one I live with, see. The, you didn't get enough protein today. I saw what you ate at Annie Gunn's. You didn't have to have that bread pudding. That person comes out. The one who has a hard drive in her mind of all the things I do wrong and constantly runs through them. You know, you need protein. You should eat more vegetables. Why did you order that? Blah, 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 blah. Why did you say that? Why did you, that person. But if you're thinking about doing this, you'll have a wonderful evening. You will. And, boy, that'd be great. I get 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 for that. We'd be screaming ahead with this thing. And once again, we will beat every other radio show in this town. And isn't that really what it's all about?
Absolutely.
Trampling the competition. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. So thank you, Brian. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Bill. And thank you to whomever it is that now steps forward and says, yeah, let's go to dinner at Annie Gunn's. At a time that's convenient for you, I will tell you I prefer to do it during the week, and I'll tell you why. Tom Sainert, who owns Annie Gunn's, is an extremely generous guy, and he opens that whole menu up, and whatever you want, and then he throws in a couple of bottles of nice wine. It's a substantially expensive meal, and he donates it all. And I don't want to eat up a table on a weekend where, you know, real estate on the weekend at Annie Gunn's is hard to come by. And I just don't want to take up a table on the weekend if I can help it. But if that's the only time you can do it and you want to throw enough money at it, I'll call him and I'll say, Tom, here's what I got. And you know what he'll say? Fine, let's do it in the weekend. But I'd prefer, as just a courtesy to him, to do it on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. But that'll be up to you as the high bidder. So that's where we are. Thank you. And again, to all of you who are sitting out there thinking, boy, I'd sure like to do that, but we don't have the money. Thank you. Thank you for at least thinking that, and to yourself, you would do it if you had the money. Thank you for that, because I get it. Not everybody can. What I also get is this. We have people in this audience, unlike most radio shows. We have all kinds of people. We have poor people. We have people right down the middle, just your average, hardworking, all the statistics in their household fall right into that middle of America category. And then we have some people who are really well off listening. We do, and I know that. So this is directed at you. You've done well. Maybe have kids and they're healthy. Okay. As we get closer, I'm going to really come after you with some St. Jude stats that'll spin your head around and make you think, shame on me if I don't do something here, because I have healthy kids. And I'll share some stats with you about some of the kids that go to St. Jude and what they have when they go in there and how they come out cancer-free in a lot of cases. I mean, the success rate is unbelievable at St. Jude because they do a lot of research there, too. So for now, I'll let it go, and thank you to all three of you. I have to take a break. Shoot. What?
We have breaking news, Frank.
Okay.
You?
This just in, breaking news. Let's go live now to News Central. Here is Tim Woodburn. Tim?
Thank you, Frank. One member of this show is in imminent danger of becoming increasingly richer.
Huh?
And that individual is...
I hope it's me.
No, it's
I
not.
I hope it's me.
It's not you.
Selfishly.
It's not you, and it's not Limey, and it's not me.
Huh?
Yeah, I just received the updated NCAA bracket pool standings sheet from Dave Zobrist, who's our accounting intern at station, and of all of the contestants, Dan Strauss' girlfriend, Sandy, is in second place.
I know! She's kicking butt on this thing.
She's just behind TJ Moe, who does hard time with John Hadley, yes, or Hex Cons before us. Yeah. She's hounding. She's right behind him, and she could win the whole thing. And Dan might leave the show if they win.
How much is the whole thing?
It is $80.
Is it 80 or 90? Yeah.
It's well, 16 times 5.
For people who aren't in radio and don't know, that's a week's pay.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they think we're kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
No, she She was in third place after the first round. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yep. She knows her.
She's right there.
She must.
Oh, man. She knows her college sport.
All right. Good for her. Let me get caught up here. Thank you to everybody who listened Saturday to the yard sale. I didn't get a chance to hear how that go, Dan. You okay?
Oh, it went great. Yes. Yeah, it did.
And it took a while.
Hockey Bob stopped by too and brought us donuts from Krispy Kreme.
See, that's the thing. It's a fun show. It's not just your typical run of the mill. It's even better than it used to be because it's a combination of just nonsense, chit chat, sell something, buy something, have some conversation. It's the yard sale. The yard sale Saturday morning. And thank you to everybody who's listening. If you're not, you should. Saturday morning, 7 to 9. I mention it because of the sponsor. Without the sponsor, there might not be a yard sale. Sponsors First Community Credit Union. That's where I bank. That's where I do all my banking. It's where tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds, I don't know the number, but a significant number of people, significant enough that it's the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. They have over 40 locations. It is a great place to bank. So whatever it is you need a bank for, some of you, it's lots of things. Car loan, home loan, business partner. Your banking partner for business, your small business. Maybe whatever it is, they do it at First Community Credit Union. And many of the members will tell you that they do it better. Their rates are really competitive. Their service, the way they treat you, it's not like a lot of places where you can do your banking because First Community Credit Union is nonprofit. It is owned by all the members. We actually all together own it. Can't sell your part, but you'll see the difference. But you won't see it until you come on over and join us and become a member. First Community Credit Union. Fresh popcorn at every location and really nice people. Competitive rates. And you can find out more at firstcommunity.com.
Are we going to check traffic? We're going to do that right now with Tory Lanez.
Traffic is sponsored by Pepto-Bismol. Southbound 170 south of 70. Crews were already working a crash, and then a DOT truck working that accident was struck. You're crowded eastbound 270 from 170 to New Florissant. Brake lights westbound 64 at Kings Highway and an accident eastbound 64 before 270. I'm Tory Lanez. That is your total traffic.
Smells good.
Thanks. I picked up a Tuscan herb marinated tenderloin from Hatfield at Schnucks on my way home.
Huh, Hatfield?
They're new in town and are all about raising pork right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They put a pledge to it right on the packages of all the varieties of marinated pork tenderloins, loin fillets, and ribs they offer.
Oh, that's great. But there's a problem.
What?
It's not on the table yet.
Oh. Find better pork for your family at your local Schnucks.
All right, we have Scott on the phone. I've like 45 seconds if Scott wants to take that. Scott, welcome to 590 The Fan, and I'm sorry we don't have more time, but I got about 40 seconds now. What's up?
Amen to PM. Thank you very much, Frank. The other day, we were talking about, you guys are talking about diarrhea. The other day, about 3-4 weeks ago, it was cold out, and I was leaving for work in the morning. I talked toilet paper. And I did chilling and stuff the night before, so... Uh-oh. I was having a hard time getting out of the house. I had the truck warming up and everything like that, and then finally I thought I was good to go, but I had a long drive to make, so I hop out my truck. I back out in the driveway. I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to make it. I have to go back in. So I put it in park. I run back in. Don't think it's going to take too long, so I do another deuce, and I wipe. I wipe, and it's like that.
Okay,
I call
it
the immaculate turk.
Aren't you glad took this call?
This is the truth.
Your time's up. I said 40 seconds.
Well, now I got. Oh, man.
We got to handle how this
Hold
ends.
Hold on. Yeah, we got to hear how
he's
it
gotta,
ends.
He's got to finish it later. I got to do this. He's got to finish it later. If we even want to hear the rest of this, I'm not sure.
I do.
Oh, I want to hear it.
I have to.
I've called before. I've never let you down.
Okay, man. Go ahead. I'll do the commercial after the break. Go ahead. You got 30 more seconds. Go ahead.
So I run back in the house. I do it again, and I wipe. And it's like, man, it's like the immaculate crap. There's nothing on the toilet. It was perfectly clean. I couldn't believe it. Never seen anything like it before. So I wipe again. I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. So I turn around to flush the toilet, and the crack, my T-shirt comes out of the crack of my butt. I had to go upstairs and change. And
now
I'm really like...
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Throw that shirt out. Hopefully it was a brown T-shirt.
Burn that shirt.
Oh, man.
That shirt gets burned. Oh my goodness! Actually, it was worth the wait, I guess. Sorry, folks. We can't. You know, we don't screen calls, and it's life. It's another life story. We'll take a break before we usher in Josh Bauman. I will do a bit of business, and before you know it, it'll be tech talk time. So if you have some stuff that's driving you crazy, it's in tech related. This is your guy. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. There are reports of rockets being fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel today. It comes after another attack that injured several people north of Tel Aviv. President Trump condemned that attack while welcoming Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the White House today.
Our condolences to the Prime Minister. And